Increasing our faith. Today, my emphasis is going to be on the perfecter of our faith. That is how I have entitled the message. And we see that from Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. We're going to talk about running the race with endurance. If you want to open up, I guess I already asked you about that, opening up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, I'll go ahead and read. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion. Everyone say the champion. Jesus is our champion. That's just awesome. That's so good. The champion who initiates, everyone say initiates. Okay, so he starts it out and then perfects or completes or matures. Everyone say perfects. Our faith. That's good. So Jesus initiates it. First of all, he's the champion. He's the one that's already run the race. He's the one that's already been the victor in this race. And then as it speaks about those, that huge crowd of witnesses, there is those that have lived before us that are listed through the whole chapter 11 of Hebrews. It's just tremendous about all of the examples of those who lived by faith, walked by faith, and the difference that it made in their lives. And it describes them as like they're cheering us on because we're in this race right now, this running this race of faith in our lives right now, and they're cheering us on saying, you know what, we made it, you can do it too. So they're cheering us on, but we need to continue to do this with endurance. And the way we do it with endurance, running a race, you've got to have endurance to complete the race. But the way that we do it is we keep our eyes on the one who perfected us in our faith. I guess I'll go ahead and give you some of the notes as I'm talking about it. Surrounded by witnesses to the life of faith, we are to run that race with endurance. Now, what it tells us initially is to strip off the weights. Okay, there are things that can prevent us from being effective or from being successful in our life of walking by faith. There are weights that it also describes sin. Sin trips us up. There's a difference between sin and weights. Weights might not be sin, but they can still hinder you from accomplishing what the Lord intends. They can still hinder your walk of faith with the Lord. Like a hindrance might be, you know, TV is not necessarily a sinful thing, but too much TV can be a weight that prevents you from walking in the faith that God intends for you because you're getting so much doubt and negativity and all that kind of stuff that comes through TV. Excuse me. And then it says, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the initiator and the perfecter of our faith. It doesn't use the word perfecter. I'm using that. He is the perfecter of our faith as he perfects our faith. So first of all, keeping your eyes on Jesus. A few weeks ago, I shared a message about Peter and how he was so inspired by the example the Lord Jesus had for him of walking on water, doing something beyond the normal. Faith enables us to do things beyond the normal. When Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, he said, Lord, if it's you, say to me to come. Can I come? And Jesus said, yes, come. So with the word of the Lord and the example of Jesus, he got out of the boat and he was walking on water towards Jesus. And then what happened? What happened with Peter? All of a sudden, he took his eyes off Jesus, and what did he do? He saw the wind and the waves, and in his mind, he immediately started to doubt that he could walk on water. And so immediately, he starts to sink. Excuse me, I got a tickle here. excuse me. You guys can cough for me. That might help. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, Peter veered from his attention on the Lord. And so all of a sudden, the circumstances became more overwhelming than the word of the Lord or the example of Jesus. He lost his focus, and that tripped him up. That caused him to fall. He could no longer walk in that supernatural way because his attention was diverted. He didn't keep his eyes on Jesus. And then it speaks about running with endurance. Weights slow us down. Weights can strip us of that ability to walk in the ways of the Lord. And so it says, strip those weights off, rather than being stripped of your ability to walk in the ways of the Lord. Sins trip us up. But sometimes there's other things that trip us up as well. We might get tripped up because we misstep. And what I mean by that is, like, we are attempting to follow in the will of the Lord, but we make a poor judgment call, and it trips us up. It gets us off the path that God had intended for us. And as a result of that, then, it's like we stumble. And we need to be able to realize that God is gracious, God is merciful. It's not like we just get off the path because we've made a mistake. Yes, we tripped up, but with endurance, we go back to the race to finish the race, to complete the race with endurance. I want to give you an example of a race that was run, and I'm going to do this by video. And this is Heather Dornadin, who in 2008 was part of the University of Minnesota women's track team. And I'll just go ahead and share this video and you can watch.
The 600 meter underway, Heather Dornadin, Minnesota, finished second this track a year ago. She was in lane four. And Dornadin is probably going to be your favorite. She actually won the NCAA championships in 2006 in the 800, but she only won one Big Ten championship in the 2 years. Three laps in this event, 600 meters, three times around the 200 meter track here at the Fieldhouse.
What a bold move by Fallon. She's looking very confident, and the Penn State runner is just running amazing today. She did win her heat in the 400, but ended up taking fourth overall.
That's Fondor moving into the lead, a sophomore from Penn State. Dornadin running second. Dornadin last year scored 23 points for the Golden Gophers in their Big Ten championship, so they're really relying on getting a lot of points from her this weekend, and she's just coming by Fondor now in the home stretch, heading into the bell line.
Gets up quickly, but that's going to cost her. Lucky she wasn't injured.
Her teammate just went to the front, though, so they may be able to recover from that. And Dornadin is flying down the backstretch.
She is catching up.
She is going to catch Fondor, and she may catch the leaders.
Wow.
Well, she's got one.
This is a gutsy effort by Dornadin. Can she pull it off? She's moving to third. Dornadin coming down the stretch from the outside. Dornadin coming on strong. Dornadin all the way.
Is amazing to fall in a 600. I mean, this is basically a sprint. I mean, this is an extended 400 basically, but to fall with 200 meters to go and get up and win, that is unbelievable.
That's
one of the most exciting rounds too.
Here's the ball.
Up, she tripped on Fawn's shoe.
It looked like Fawn just clipped her heel and she went down just before the bell lap.
Fondor had to high hurdler to avoid a collision.
And she is powering down this home stretch, just doing everything she can to win this heat.
Well, Heather Dornadin, who is now Heather Dornadin Kampf, because she's married, that was back in 2008, she has gone on to become a professional athlete. She actually, this year, was part of Team USA at the International Association of Athletic Foundations, the IAAF World Indoor Track and Field Championship in Poland. And she is a strong believer, giving glory to God. In her blog and in several ways, she said this video that went viral has given her many opportunities to speak to people, and in fact, she is going to be at Triton the evening of October 17th, 2014, and she will be at Praise Fellowship Church on Sunday, October 19th. Yeah. So I'm excited about that. I've been working together with another pastor in the community, Pastor Michael Jones from the Seventh-day Adventist Church, initiated this and has been communicating with her and has put all the details together and communicating with the school as well. And when he talked to me about, hey, maybe it's possible for us as churches to, I said, I'm interested. And so she's going to be here that Sunday. Now, so I just encourage you, plan on that. Bring some, obviously, young people who could be strongly encouraged by persevering through running the race. And I know her testimony is going to be God is the one that enables us, make the application of a physical thing to a spiritual thing. God is the one that enables us to run our race, even when we misstep. Some way or another, there was a misstep there, and one person's shoe hit another person's shoe that caused her to trip up. But that doesn't mean you stop, and that doesn't mean you give up, and that doesn't mean you can't still win the race with perseverance and with endurance. So let's continue on. I want to share with you this passage from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 3 through 4 that speaks about perseverance and our faith growing, our faith being perfected as a result of that. 2 Thessalonians 1, 3, and 4 says, We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows even greater. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. It starts speaking of greatly enlarged faith. And in the New King James translation, it says, your faith grows exceedingly. We want a faith that continues to grow, increasing faith. That's what this whole series has been about. There are various things that will cause our faith to grow, various things that will increase our faith. He speaks of being proud of your perseverance and faith. That's one of the things that we need to realize. In this life of walking by faith, we can't give up when it gets difficult. We've got to learn how to persevere. And there's something very, very specific. I'll get into that. Something very specific that enables us to continue with that endurance. And he spoke of persecutions and afflictions. In the midst of your persecutions and afflictions, you have persevered and you have had faith in the midst of those things. So persecutions and afflictions, I'll share more about that in a little bit, how those things can come up as obstacles towards your faith. But instead it says to turn them into those things that will cause your faith to increase, cause your faith to grow exceedingly. This speaks of what it is that will enable us to endure. It's kind of interesting that was 2 Thessalonians 1:3. This is 1 Thessalonians 1:3, and it speaks regarding similar things. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. What is it that inspires our endurance? It's hope. Hope enables us to see beyond what's happening right here and now. Hope enables us to endure because we see something better than what's happening right here and now. When we saw the example of Heather running the race, she fell. I mean, typically you would think, okay, it's hopeless of me finishing this race to win. Maybe I can finish this race, but my time is going to be way off. It's going to be a detriment to the team. All of that as a result of this fall. But rather than that, it's like I can see, still persevering, I can see as she stretched out her stride, I can see me winning this race. And that hope gave her the endurance and the strength to continue to finish well and to win. And so we want to see that it's seeing beyond what's happening right now that enables us to endure. It gives us strength to endure. So let's talk about perfecting faith as we see it described in James chapter 1. Just turn a page to the right and you're right there. Excuse me. James chapter 1 and verses 2 through 4. Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So see how it says here, when troubles come your way? It doesn't say if troubles come your way. Do you realize the difference between an if and a when? A when is it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when, not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. So when troubles come your way, you're supposed to look at it as an opportunity. This is an opportunity for joy, to go through this with joy. And the only reason why you can go through troubles with joy is because you see beyond what's happening right here and now. The beyond that's going to happen, the faith for something that's different, the hope that is for something different, gives you that ability that when your faith is tested, then endurance has a chance to grow. Now, when endurance has had a chance to grow, it says that then you're going to be perfected or completed or lacking nothing, needing nothing. So there are all these elements of endurance. Endurance is needed as a result of having made a misstep or a fall or something somewhere or another. You have to persevere. It might be that there's opposition against you. It might be that there are persecutions or afflictions. You made no mistake. You didn't sin. That's not what set you aside. You did not have weights on you. You did not misstep, but all of a sudden you're afflicted in some manner, or you're persecuted in some manner, and that challenges or tests your faith. Can you keep pressing on? You need endurance to go through those things, but the hope that you have of what is out there ahead of you, something better than what I'm experiencing right now, gives you that endurance. And when endurance has had its complete and perfect work in you, you will be complete and lacking in nothing. So our faith increases. We grow. Our faith continues to increase as a result of these experiences. And it is the perfecter of our faith that is working us, working through us and in us in those things to bring our faith to its development. It's Jesus the initiator and Jesus the perfecter. That it's not that he is bringing those trials your way, no more than he brings those sins or those weights or those missteps. It's not that he brings them your way, but in the midst of those is an opportunity for you to grow, to become strong, your faith is tested, and you can endure and come out. Let's look at an example of a testing of faith, a severe testing of faith in Hebrews 11. We'll just step back again a page or two. Hebrews 11 and verses 17 through 19. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Now everyone say, God was testing him. Okay, now we know that God never tests, tempts, or tries to get us to sin. You know, in fact, the scripture says, don't ever say that God tempts you. Okay, God doesn't tempt us, but God will test our faith. We see that example, a perfect example of that, in Hebrews 11 and verse 17. And there's good reasons for this happening. We'll go on. Again, it says, it was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promise, was ready to sacrifice his only son, even though God had told him, Isaac is the son whom your descendants will be counted. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. And we talked a few weeks ago, we talked about Abraham and his experience of his faith and how faith enabled him to see beyond what was happening right now. First of all, again, it says, by faith, Abraham offered Isaac when he was tested, when God tested him. And it says that Abraham reasoned that God was able to bring him back to life. That hope of something beyond the natural. I mean, normally, naturally, if you put your son to death, he would die. That would be final. But faith enabled Abraham to endure through that testing because with his hope in God's promise, he saw something beyond this putting his son to death. Certainly, if my son is going to die, God will raise him up again. Gave him the endurance to persevere and to go through with the test to the point where by an angel of the Lord, the Lord spoke to him and said, don't lay a hand on your son. In Genesis 22, verse 12, don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me, even your son, your only son. Now, it's interesting how he says that, now I know. In the midst of that, he says, now I know that you truly fear God. But here's the other thing. Abraham, now you know as well. It's not only that God knows, because, I mean, we could say, why would God have had to test Abraham? Because God knows what's in everybody's heart. God knows whether an individual fears him or not. God knows if a person has true faith or trust in him or not. So why the testing? God knows this anyway. But see, some of the times that testing that we go through helps us to identify where we're at. Do I have the faith to obey God? Do I have the faith to do something that is out there, that is extreme? Can I see beyond this that's happening now to trust that God is going to fulfill his promises to me? So many times it's like we have to go through the test before we realize that, you know what? I'm not there yet. I just failed that faith test. I need to increase in my trust in the Lord. I need to increase in my endurance when I'm going through these troubled times, because I lose my peace. I become anxious. I'm no longer having faith in God and resting in him. I'm filled with worry and concern. It's like I'm looking at the circumstances rather than looking at the answer or looking at the Lord. So the testing is not only, it's not just that God is testing to find out where we're at. He's revealing to us where we're at. So Abraham now knew that he was pleasing God with his faith as well. I want to share with you, not a story, it's a true event from a book that I read years and years ago by Paul Yongji Cho. He goes by the name David Yongji Cho now. But the title of the book was called The Fourth Dimension. And he described that during the Korean War, Paul Yongji Cho, or David Yongji Cho, pastors a huge church in Seoul, Korea. And he describes that during the Korean War, there were just all kinds of opposition or persecution against Christian ministers. In fact, there were 500 ministers that were captured and shot to death, and 2,000 churches that were destroyed. And he said that the communists were vicious to ministers. And one minister and his family were captured in Incheon, Korea. And it says that the communist leaders put them on what was called the people's trial, whereby the leaders or the accusers would come and say, this man is guilty of this specific sin, and that kind of sin needs to be punished. And the people's trial was all the people would agree and say, yeah, yeah. So he needs to be punished. So what they did was they dug a large hole. They put this family, this pastor, his wife, and his two children in that hole. And they said to him this, Mister, all these years you have misled the people with the superstitions of the Bible. Now if you will publicly disclaim before these people and repent of this misdemeanor, then you, your wife, and your children will be set free. But if you persist in your superstitions, all your family are going to be buried alive. Now it's one thing to face persecution yourself and know I'm going to suffer, but it's a whole other thing when it's your family. This is the test that Abraham had to go through. And this is the test that this pastor had to go through. And the children, realizing what's happening, start crying out to their daddy, 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 think of us. And with his heart broken, he almost agrees to disclaim his faith in the Bible and his faith in God. But before he could do that, his wife says no. And she turns to the children and she said, tonight we are going to have supper with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they started singing together in the sweet by and by. And they sang until they were buried to death. That, people, is seeing beyond. That is enduring as a result of having hope in something that's happening. That is faith being tested and coming out overcoming, being a champion in your faith because of the champion who initiated and perfected our faith. You know, there are Christians all over the world that are being persecuted for their faith and being put to death. We here in America think that will never, ever happen to us. We don't, do we? But what if things change? Things are changing. What if they change to being this dramatic, where it's not just you standing before that firing squad or buried to death or whatever means of execution, but they put their kids up there? Can you see beyond? That's what faith is for, people. It's not just for us to get a bigger salary or a newer house or a newer car. I am exercising my faith for this next thing that I want. It's for living a life, a victorious life of our trust in God, no matter what. That whether we misstep and we fall, and it's time to get back up and keep going again, to not put that and say, I failed, I can never do this. Instead, we develop endurance for our faith to increase, to grow, and to continue to grow, so that when we face the ultimate test, we're ready to say, yes, I believe, I trust, I will walk on water, I will face that firing squad. Whatever it is, we will be able to complete our race and do it with victory. Great faith. There are rewards that come with believing and trusting. First of all, having a perspective beyond the natural. We've got to be able to see beyond what's happening here. And how do we see it? We see it by the promises we have in God's word. We see it by the words the Lord speaks to us, just like the words the Lord spoke to Peter when he said, come. He had the example of Jesus walking on the water. He had the word of the Lord that said, come. And as his faith was stirred, he did the impossible. It was when he got distracted or changed his focus that he started to fail. Faith enables us to have eyes to see what cannot be seen. That's what the scripture says. Look not at those things which can be seen, but look at those things which cannot be seen. For the things that can be seen are temporary. The things that cannot be seen are eternal. We need to, with the eyes of faith, continue to look at the promises of God, just as Abraham did, to be able to see beyond the natural. This boy, if I put him to death, he's going to die. There goes the promise of God for all those generations he promised me. But instead he said, nope, I trust God. I trust his word. He promised me that through Isaac would come this promise. These generations would come through him. So evidently, if I put him to death, that means God's going to raise him up. He saw beyond the natural. Faith enables us to have eyes to see what cannot be seen, and also the ability to receive the unlimited power of God. Jesus over and over again said, be it done unto you according to your faith. And so we receive the power, the unlimited power of God, as a result of our faith and our trust in him. I want to close today with this verse from Romans chapter 1 and verse 17 and from the Amplified translation. And by the way, I got cued into this from the Amplified from our Seasons message last Wednesday evening with Tim Gilligan. As he read this from Romans 1:17 from the Amplified, I thought, man, that's good sermon material. I'm always getting good sermon material as I keep my eyes and ears open. But this is so awesome when it says, for in the gospel, a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed through the way of faith that arouses more faith. As it is written, the man who through faith is just and upright shall live, and shall live by faith. See, we're to have a faith that arouses more faith. And as we go through the issues of life, the challenges, the missteps, the weights, the sins that we're casting off so that we can run with endurance, a race that is set before us, a race that God intends us to win. As we do that, as our faith increases, arouses more faith, we're going to be accomplishing the very thing that God said over and over and over again in Scripture, the righteous or the just shall live by faith. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we want to be among those people who are not falling to the side and giving up. We want to be among those people, Lord, that are rising even though the challenge, even though the misstep, even though the trip up, Lord, even though the afflictions, even though the persecutions, we want to be among those, Lord, who stand up and say, here I am, Lord, I am your child and I am persevering. I trust you. You will enable me. You will strengthen me. You will give me the ability to persevere and to endure and to perfect this faith, and I will overcome. We do not want to be among those people who face the obstacles and say, I quit. I give up. It's too hard. We want to be among those who see beyond, Lord, according to the promises and according to the word of God that you have given us. To walk the life of faith because we trust you. It's all about a relationship based on trust. And in that we commit ourselves to, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.